Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon, and it's time for a podcast. This is an important one, and I'm really excited to introduce you to someone who's an expert on cortisol, stress, peptides, and hormones. This is Dr. Francesca LeBlanc. She's a really well-known expert in natural and functional medicine, and she has a big focus on women's health, hormones, peptides, and circadian health. She's a board-certified doctor of natural medicine and certified functional medicine practitioner all the way in Louisiana. And I think a lot of the life experiences and stress she underwent herself in the corporate world kind of drove her to learn more about this. But today we're going to learn about cortisol, stress, adaptogens, all the things we need to be doing around the perimenopause time, especially for women, right, Francesca? Welcome.
Sounds good. Thank you for having me.
Pleasure. It's a pleasure. I think I first found you on the gram and I really enjoyed the content that you were putting out. And tell me a little bit about your functional medicine, natural medicine practice, and what do you focus on?
So I am completely remote. So I practice telehealth. Right now I have gotten out of doing one-to-ones. I save that kind of for extreme patients, if you know what I mean. But I really focus on working with women in a group remotely. It's wonderful. It's one of the best things ever. I can one-to-many is a lot more efficient for me. I can reach a lot more women than I can doing one-to-ones. So that's really wonderful. And what we do is really dive into the root causes of why we feel the way we do, because somewhere in our 30s, maybe not for many, but then definitely in our 40s, you start to notice all of these little things start creeping up, like fatigue and belly fat. And, you know, the allopathic model is sort of antiquated in its approach to addressing that. So we as women, we've got this sort of modern amount of stress on us, but then we want to try and apply really old principles to tackle it. It's not working.
It's not. I feel it in my own life. I definitely do. And I don't think there's a lot of time in life to slow down and even analyze what's going on with yourself until you like just hit a wall, you know,
burnout or some sort of hormone health crisis is usually when women find me, or after they've kind of feel like they've been given the runaround, then they find me. And that's kind of the truth, which just starts piling on. And before we know it, our bodies are breaking down and we feel like we're being trapped, right, in our own bodies by our hormones, which that's not vitality. That's not how we're meant to live.
Right. You said something very interesting as we were starting, that so many of us are entering into perimenopause at earlier ages, and you don't even know that the symptoms you're having are perimenopause. What are some of those things?
So, you know, what's interesting is the recent research is showing that the younger women begin their cycle, the earlier we can expect them to enter perimenopause. And a lot of the women, millennials, started getting their cycle as early as age 8, 9, 10. We're seeing them in perimenopause in their 30s. So this is the disruption in the cycle. The cycle becomes irregular. Fatigue, exhaustion out of nowhere, even though you slept. Another big one is weight loss resistance. Everything we did 2 years ago to lose weight, all of a sudden the weight's piling on because nothing that we used to do works anymore. And those, I think, are the big three: the exhaustion and the weight loss resistance. And of course, you know, stress and the cycle.
Yeah, I think so. That's so fascinating that they're having periods that early. And the average 40-year-old woman doesn't even think of the word menopause or perimenopause. Right. Are the OB-GYN, you know, allopathic medicine doctors more focused or more understanding of looking at those symptoms early on? Or do you really have to bring your own doctor's attention?
Yeah, that's great, because I think doctors like you probably are. And if they are at least in tune with functional medicine, maybe have not gone through training, but exposed to it and interested in it, then there's a good chance that your GYN is open to the conversation about it. But that's still not the norm. It's the exception. So it's really hard to find a doctor that will be on the same page with you.
I think in medicine, we train in med school, we work so hard, we get this bank of knowledge, and then you're tested, you're board certified, and you're launched. And then many people don't ever change that knowledge bank. So in their head, menopause is 50, 55, 60, whatever it is. that it was old school, what they learned like 20 years ago, they may be in the prime of their career and very well established in the community and the person to go to, but they may not know anything about the new thinking or like a different approach to understanding what the modern woman's going through. So
it's true.
Yeah. You also talk a lot about cortisol and the impact of modern life on our kind of circadian rhythm. Can you talk about that?
Yes. So I think that toxic stress is the new epidemic. Obesity's been an epidemic forever, but I think toxic stress really surmounts that, especially when it comes to women, because first of all, we're extremely resilient. So the more that we pile on, the more that we're able to do. If we're type A, I know you're type A, so am I. Mm-hmm. It's just like, give it to me. I'll do it. It'll get done if I do it. And then I'll take on this project. And it's not that we're yes people. It's just that we're able to actually flex and move according to how much stress. And we just keep piling it on. But we really don't take into account the fact that when we were primates, we really only had two jobs. And that was one, to make babies, and two, make food. So husband would bring back the food, right? We make the food and protect the babies, like take care of the home. Fast forward to now, we're not only working, we're not only taking care of the home, but some of us have two and three jobs in this economy, in addition to children of all ages and various projects that we're dealing with, and really no tools or resources that say, wait a second, before this thing destroys my health, let me put some resources in place. Like recognizing that elevated cortisol disrupts our sleep. We're going to wake up at 3 a.m., that classic in the middle of the night, wake up. That's cortisol. That's dysregulated cortisol, a very classic sign. That's due to it's not spiking when it should in the morning, in accordance with nature, with the circadian rhythm. Why are we spiking cortisol at night? Stress. We're not dealing with our stress. And a lot of doctors or practitioners that aren't sort of, you know, integrating a lot of the Eastern, Western, holistic, allopathic, all of it together, aren't equipped to have a discussion with women about their stress. It's more or less like, well, if you wake up tired because you're waking up in the middle of the night, probably need an antidepressant, or maybe you need some sleep medication, or, you know, that anxiety you're experiencing, that's totally normal for your age. When really one of the major root causes is toxic stress.
Mm-hmm. And people are medicating themselves with melatonin or the magnesium teas, or
the melatonin drives me nuts.
It was in so much favor, and now it's fallen out of favor. And like, I think in many ways, people forget the body has a positive feedback cycle. So you add external melatonin, you stop making your own, right?
Right. And, you know, there are, in a few cases, I have some women that travel internationally for work. When you're crossing time zones like that, melatonin might be needed. And it's just a short blip, maybe 4 or 5 days. I totally support that. But when practitioners are advising women over 30 to take melatonin if they can't sleep, well, first of all, let's figure out why you're so restless and you can't get to bed, because you should be. You should be pretty. You should be nice and wound down and tired. You know, if we get up when the sun comes up and we watch the sunrise, we can actually spike our cortisol naturally. It signals our melatonin to actually go off, and we can start getting our rhythm back, you know. When the sun goes down at night is not the time to get on the computer. It's not the time to lay in bed on TikTok. It's not the time to watch Netflix. But yet, because of the toxic stress, these are our go-tos to decompress from the day, right?
So true. What am I going to do at night? Like, even logically, we shouldn't be doing these things, but now we're just kind of motivated and driven to like pick up our phone and scroll.
Yeah. And when we didn't have smartphones, there wasn't that. So there's that. But I think, you know, especially for me, I have small children. So when they finally get into bed after bath, you know, I'm inclined to, well, let me just pick up my, and I really have had to work really hard on that, because for many years when they were babies, that was the first thing I did. I was like, oh, get a moment to myself. let me see what's happening on TikTok. It's ridiculous. But that was like my little moment. And man, did that disrupt my sleep, right? Because we know what the blue light is doing. The blue light is telling it's awake time. It's time to be awake. It's not time to wind down. That blue light is telling our body, hey, we wonder why we're hungry. Well, that blue light is also telling leptin, like, hey, let's go get a snack. And that's why we feel hungry. So, you know, a lot of this late night eating that we do for comfort is probably due to the fact that we're on a screen when the sun has already set.
I mean, it's very primal, but we probably need to go back to just like when the sun goes down, that's when you take a bath and just relax and like, you know, in the bedroom, no screens and just kind of like sleep early, wake up early, those kind of cycles.
I know. And it's hard.
Like children, we should be like children, like we make our children go to bed when it's dark and get up when they get up automatically when it's bright.
Yeah. If we can incorporate a little bit more of all those natural principles that like the human body kind of thrives on, then you have more of a foundation to kind of balance your hormones, because there's nothing worse. Like, I've worked with a lot of women over the last decade that are night nurses. This is one of the most, first of all, so grateful for their work, because who else is taking care of people in the middle of the night but them? And what a disruption to not only their circadian health, but their hormone health. And those women come to me because I just recently had a woman in her 30s, unable to get pregnant. And she went to her doctor and then got another opinion from a fertility specialist and another opinion from a fertility specialist. So basically she had two opinions that, well, because, you know, you're unable to conceive, you have PCOS, so you've got to do the in vitro route. And then she asked for my opinion and we did some labs, and I told her, I said, I'm happy to take you on into the group, but we're going to have to figure out how to re-engineer your work schedule. And she was like, okay. And I said, if you're really serious about conceiving naturally and saving yourself, I mean, the quote that she gave me was mind blowing. What in vitro costs now, like, wow. Wow. So I said, it's going to be a process, but we can absolutely start to get your rhythm and your hormones balanced. And sure enough, it took time. She wound up looking for another job in another hospital, a little bit of a commute for her. But then we were able to, with other lifestyle, dietary, nutraceutical protocols, calm the PCOS, and then we conceive. It's not me, it's just nature and working with it, not against it.
Right. Just tweaking it
a little bit.
What are some ways that the circadian rhythm disruption changes your hormones? Which hormones change when you're up late scrolling on your computer after dinner?
Well, first of all, we know that blue light exposure at night, so the sun has set, we know that that's dysregulating leptin, and that's our hunger hormone. So if we're that 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night munchy person, ask yourself, are you on your phone? Are you on a screen of some kind? So we know that occurs. And leptin resistance is the precursor to insulin resistance, which is another silent epidemic. You've got, I think the last article I read was a estimate of 60 million American women walking around with insulin resistance and they don't know it, which is frightening. But leptin resistance comes first, then insulin resistance. So again, if you could dial it back and get more in tune, apply some of these principles of nature and start to regulate some of these more deeper root causes of hormone imbalances, then you can start looking at what's really happening with how you feel. Not until you peel back all those layers. And cortisol is the other one. So, you know, we shouldn't be, when cortisol should naturally peak and valley, right? We want to get up. It should rise somewhere fully between what, you know, 9 a.m., between 6 a.m. and 9 a.m. And then it's going to gradually fall. But what do we do? Well, a lot of women don't sleep at night or up. They were on their phones till midnight. They get up, they're exhausted. Even though they've slept 7, 8 hours, then they're drinking coffee on an empty stomach, right? Because they've got to get kids to school. So we're
You're describing my last evening perfectly.
Okay.
This is exactly how I rolled in today.
Oh gosh. Well, we're gonna have to have a little side talk.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're drinking coffee, so we're aggressively spiking cortisol before we can actually really benefit from that natural spike. So let me give you an example. If we wake up and we watch the sunrise, if we wake up and we set our alarms for 10 minutes before, we look in our area when the sun's going to rise and we watch it, we are naturally turning off melatonin, turning on cortisol. Then we go eat a really good breakfast. This is one of the huge, I would say, missteps of my time that I've seen in women is this major protein deficiency, which is another root cause of a lot of these hormone imbalances, because the breakfast is missing. A lot of women, we get into this mindset of intermittent fasting because I've just put on 10 to 20 pounds out of nowhere. But when your cortisol is dysregulated, your body might think fasting is more stress and it will work against you. I think intermittent fasting is great, but maybe reverse engineer it. Maybe not eat dinner. Maybe just do that once or twice a week. We run into an epidemic of overfasting, which just dysregulates cortisol. So you're just in a hamster wheel of stress on the body.
Yeah. I was a big fan of intermittent fasting for a long time, but then I started to, I think you start to feel very edgy, like all day, every day edgy, like type A, like that aggressiveness, because your body's in the fight or flight defense of starvation a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. I think when you're type A, you go for it. So then you're just intermittent fasting 7 days a week for 6 months. That is not good. I don't care if your body is ready to fast or not.
Yeah.
You could really have a plan, you know, where you're maybe doing it once, twice, three times a week. When your body's ready, when your stress is under control, it is extremely effective. But there is such a thing as overfasting. And I think a lot of women need to be aware of it because we're beating ourselves up, right? We see our girlfriend who's on the Ozempic and she's super skinny and it's annoying because, wow, that was effortless, right? Because now we're using that drug for weight loss. That's what all the women come to me for. I don't want to do that, but my friend's so skinny now. I'm like, well, we gotta get some things in place. We gotta get a lot of these principles. We gotta stop intermittent fasting every day. It's not working right now. Your body's stressed. We've got to get a couple of tweaks in place.
It's a process. Totally. I think I got around that by adding protein in the mornings, specifically like I use our collagen peptide powder. It has protein in it. And it just kind of took the edge off. Like you didn't enter the day so adrenalized, you know?
Yeah.
Then you just feel less hungry throughout the rest of the day. But I do still feel that we should obey our hunger signals where, like, if I don't wake up hungry in the morning, why am I going to go and eat something? Like, I'm not hungry right now. So I'm trying to focus more on like doing
just listening to your body.
Yeah. Obeying my hunger signals, which, you know, I think I love it when I do encourage our women to get on those weight loss shots. Many of them want to, or that, like you said, they're so stuck and insulin resistant that they can't lose weight, even if they do these best practices of diet, exercise, everything else. So like that just bumps their metabolism to the point where they can actually have some success. And I think so much of our fat stores hormones, that when they start melting that fat down, all their hormonal regulation, and you've probably seen this, gets so much better. Like we see girls getting pregnant. We see their PCOS symptoms getting
That's
better.
Great.
Yeah. Their fertility
That's amazing.
Improving. So I think there's some real beauty to that. But
Sure.
At some point you do have to get off the Mounjaro, and then you do have to have these skills that you're talking about where, you know, you want to maintain with vitamins, hormones, supplements, everything else that you need to be doing. Can you tell us what are some of the best supplements to go on to help regulate your circadian rhythm, hormone, like natural supplements, vitamins, peptides?
So I think that I love, well, for sure, omega-3 fatty acids. I've been taking them a very, very long time. And I think anyone over the age of 30 should, whether you're vegan, carnivore, keto, I don't care. You need omega-3s. It's a part of our nervous system requires it. Our hormones are made from fat. We need fat. So I think that an omega-3 is nature's natural anti-inflammatory, and you just need it every day. So that's a non-negotiable for me for sure. And then I find that women are magnesium deficient on a pretty epic level. And you know, supplementing about an hour before they want to wind down. So here in the deep South, it's pretty bright out until pretty late at night. So I have to wear blue light blockers and I have a whole ritual so that I can really, it's almost like it's conditioning your body to get ready to go to bed. And magnesium is one of those supplements that's a part of that ritual because, as we know, nervous system regulation, glucose utilization, the benefits of magnesium are through the roof with over hundreds and hundreds of processes that we need magnesium for. And yes, you can eat pumpkin seeds and do all of these things, but I still think we benefit greatly for using magnesium as a tool to help the body calm down and the nervous system calm down. Then there are a lot of other supplements I've definitely utilized over the years to really catapult that sort of for the really, really stressed out woman. I've seen some wonderful things with Kava Kava. It's a wonderful calming, but it really needs, you really need to work with a practitioner. You can't just go to the store and buy that one because it's an adaptogen. And if you're taking other medications, you really want to be clear that you're not contraindicating. So that's one that I kind of save. I really don't, it's not one of my go-tos, but for many women that are, man, a lot of attorneys that work until 10 o'clock at night, these women are wired at night. So Kava Kava is a blessing because, again, what do? We're coming home, we're pouring a gigantic glass of wine when we're getting out of work at 10 o'clock at night. And then we wonder why we can't sleep, right? So I find using Kava Kava, making like a little mocktail when you use a little liquid Kava Kava, that can kind of replace that wine that we go to that helps us wind down. So that's a good little trick there. And then there are some other supplements, but I think really at the end of the day, it's more about getting regulated. So whether you need to put a ritual in place where you're doing some form of a somatic exercise, like just putting your legs up a wall, maybe listening to binaural beats, maybe you are reading, maybe you are journaling, coloring. There's in my Instagram feed so many different things you can pull from one post and another to really create the combo that works for you. Having a little 5-minute session to yourself, I think, is far better than any supplement.
I think you're absolutely right. How about holy basil, ashwagandha? Those are things that people hear about quite frequently, or mushrooms.
Oh, I think ashwagandha is great. I think it takes a long time to work, so a lot of women get frustrated. Some of these adaptogens take up to 3 months to really fully work and integrate. So it's not one of those supplements, like, again, quick fixes, right? We want it and we want it now. And that's not really going to work with a lot of the adaptogens, I find. I could be wrong. Magnesium, though, is one that you'll notice that working pretty quickly.
That's pretty incredible. Actually, I've been enjoying magnesium every night, and it gives you a much deeper, better sleep. And is there
Really
any
improves the
particular
quality.
brand or form of magnesium, since there's like six different types of
I
magnesium?
know, I know. And that's what makes it confusing too. So I don't have my own supplements, but I like the orthomolecular reacted magnesium because it's three forms. So you're going to get the magnesium malate so that you can recover from the day, your muscles will recover well. You're going to get magnesium citrate, which will help you bind and eliminate toxins. And then you'll get magnesium glycinate, which will calm your nervous system. So I just, when I started taking it, it kind of changed everything for me. So it's really the only one I recommend to my patients and on Instagram because it just works.
Yeah, there's so many enzyme reactions in the body that are very dependent on magnesium, from DNA synthesis and repair all the way down to all the hormone production. So, like, I think that's an easy no-brainer, and everyone benefits from it, right? Dietary-wise, or is there stuff that we should be doing in terms of gut health that impacts this whole hormonal system?
Well, that is really kind of patient to patient. I really think depending on a woman that wants to shed 40 plus pounds, her dietary recommendations are going to be a little bit different. But if you simplify it and you just look at one day and make sure that there's three meals in that day that have 30 to 40 grams of protein each, that's a good place to start. And then if we remember that every single time we eat, we spike our blood sugar, which creates insulin resistance. If we can reduce blood sugar spikes, meaning we can get full from those three meals. It's when we don't eat enough that we wind up snacking, and then we're spiking our blood sugar 5, 6, 7 times a day. And that's where I think we end up with insulin resistance, because we have a lot of women. I know I grew up watching my mother drink Tab soda. Do you remember in the 80s?
Oh my God, yes.
Okay. So she also did all of the diets and the meals were this big. Okay. So I think I grew up thinking like the less you eat, the skinnier you'll be. And it is a mindset and it is a breakdown. We have to break that down if we grew up in a household where we saw a mom eat small portions, because really what we want to do is fill up with protein, fat, and fiber so that we're not hungry when it's the next time to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the simplest form and the best way to go about introducing yourself into eating, because everything gets overwhelming. If we start saying, I'm going to do this, I'm going to take that supplement, I'm going to start doing these steps, and it's too much. We do it for 2 weeks, we fail, we beat ourselves up, and then it's no good. It's like stacking habits slowly over time, little bit, little bit, little bit. Every week, add something new.
Mm-hmm. In terms of hormone replacements, then for women, let's say you know you're in perimenopause or you've started the route, what are some of your like go-to essentials that like you can arm our audience with? So when they go to their OB/GYN, they can already say like, I want this, this, and that, or I want this testing, and so, I want these.
That's great. Yes. So I tell all of my patients, the first thing they want to do is ask for a full hormone panel. A lot of doctors still want to cherry pick just estrogen, just testosterone, just progesterone. It's not going to work. Let's look at the whole gamut. Then once you have that big sort of helicopter view picture, then I would always recommend that the patient explores bioidentical hormone replacement therapy first, because the synthetic, which is easy prescription, will be there. It'll be there. Let's try and work with the body a little bit. So you have a lot of practitioners that offer that now. Those are really supportive. I think that because in my experience of taking hormonal birth control early in my 20s, I think that it kind of kicked off the cascade of the myriad of issues I experienced. So I'm gun shy to lead with synthetic hormone replacement therapy. But that said, it works for some women and they feel amazing. And at the end of the day, you have to do what's right for you.
And bioidentical hormones have taken a lot of heat for being like not scientifically valid. Or, you know, I think if you're going to go down the route of hormones, you definitely have to do your research. And like many, many, many regular physicians will critique and criticize bioidentical as like not even a valid concept. Yeah. So I just want to put that out there for people listening that, yeah, it is very much in use. And many of like probably half of my patients are doing bioidentical, and the other half are getting just normal synthetic pharmacological replacement estrogens, progesterone, testosterone. And like, I can't really tell the difference on the outside which patient is doing better. For me, it's hard to tell. And many of them go back and forth, or they start with one and then they try the other.
Right.
Yeah.
You just have to do what works.
Exactly. Really. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And whether it's cream or, you know, patch or
pellet, whatever.
Any of those are effective. Yeah. And then are there certain regimens that you think are very valuable for women?
And no, I haven't tried any. You know, I haven't tried any myself. So until I go that route, I feel like I'm not one to actually be qualified to recommend one over the other. I will say, if I think about it though, logically, if I were to pursue bioidentical, I would start with transdermal because it seems to me like the least invasive prior to pellets and creams and all that. So I would just start with a patch sort of in the cascade of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's easiest. And that's what most women get put on, right? An estradiol patch or estrogen replacement kind of a patch. And luckily, the thinking it's changing regarding estrogen replacements, that we feel that the old studies that were warning patients so much against using estrogens for breast cancer, stroke, and heart risk have actually been mostly invalidated. Every person has to look at their risk and benefit when they're going on these products. But for
and
the
their
most
family
part,
history.
And family history, but for the most part, there's tremendous benefit, and almost all women should be getting some from what I've been researching.
Yeah.
So estradiol patch, and then maybe progesterone if you still.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I find that especially the women that are going into perimenopause a lot earlier, the ones that have that profound anxiety could really benefit from some progesterone in some form, because that seems to me like that's the first one to go, right? We've got maybe even an estrogen dominant state and just progesterone in the gutter. So those women, I think, do really well. Again, just entering sort of their perimenopausal journey, those topical YAM creams, they work wonders for some women.
And they're available on Amazon. I was looking the other day and like, you can buy
get
very many things on Amazon. Heck, you can buy practically filler and Botox and not really.
Wow.
But
not that you want to do that.
You should not ever do that. But you could definitely buy estrogen creams, and progesterone creams are available on Amazon. Yeah. Like you said, they're natural source. But yeah, any particular brands that you think are pretty reputable?
I think that, so Dr. Anna Kabeca, she's got an interesting line of bioidentical products that I've recommended patients to. She's got a lot of research behind her stuff. So I usually just send people to her.
Oh, and how do you spell her
do
name?
That. Dr. Anna, Kabeca, Kabeca.
I'll have to check her out.
Yeah.
Interesting. Or from your normal OB-GYN doctor, you can also get oral progesterone, like usually 100 milligrams to 200 milligram dosing. But like you said, the anxiety relief for many people is tremendous on progesterone.
It's profound.
Who knew? But almost every cell in your body has these receptors for both estrogen and progesterone and testosterone on every cell. Interesting. And then testosterone, what do you advocate for that?
I mean, testosterone is a tough one, because especially with women that have teeter-tottered with PCOS, it's difficult to kind of, you know, get the dosage right with androgens in general. I think women should kind of tiptoe into the process. Get it tailored, the dosage. Maybe if you're going to go patch or pellet, your estrogen to progesterone ratio, get that right. Maybe microdose testosterone. There's some companies that started doing that. I've had a few patients that reported that working well. It's hard though, again, to find a practitioner that is aware that that's possible, but then we'll provide it. So bit of a challenge.
Testosterone is challenging because it's a controlled substance. I did
Wow.
not even know that till recently, but yeah, you can't even get a prescription without the special, you know, triplicate prescriptions, because I guess many men overdo it on the testosterone side.
Now, look at us women. We can't even get a little bit of testosterone if we need
I
it.
I know. Like, can we just have a little? We just need a little just to feel ambitious and sexy and all that.
Yeah.
And then talk a little bit about peptides and how we can use them for, you know, the cycle regulation hormone replacement. Do you have any favorite peptides?
So animal-based collagen peptides, I think, are the best. Which
Yes.
brand do you favor?
I have my very own brand. It's called Internal Radiance, the collagen peptides. Yeah.
Okay. Is it animal based?
It's bovine. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think I've tried many different plant forms. It's just not the same as animal based. I think that collagen in general, we know healthy skin and hair, we know all of that. But from a, I think the hormone balance aspect, it's a wonderful little protein that actually we can add into the diet to meet our protein goal. So I look at it like that, instead of, you know, when should we be drinking it during our cycle, depending on the phase. A lot of women who don't eat breakfast and have a salad for lunch can get away with a collagen drink at their desk, at work, whatever they're doing, maybe once or twice a day, and slowly start upping their protein so that they can meet their goal. I think it's an amazing add-on for that.
I love it too. I'm a huge fan. Are you recommending any other vitamins, like in your medicine cupboard? If I took a sneak peek, we're going to find some NAD or what's in there besides magnesium and fish
So
oil.
there's a supplement that actually I love called FemGuard, and it is from Designs for Health, and it is a wonderful sort of all-encompassing hormone balancing supplement. You've got like the calcium D-glucarate and the DIM to help you regulate estrogen. You've got some magnesium and you've got some Bs to help B6 to help you regulate progesterone, but it just is sort of well-rounded. I don't want to call it a multivitamin because I think most multis are junk and a waste of time, and it'll just make your urine yellow. But FemGuard is one of those supplements, I have to say, when women start taking it, it is one that they say, wow, I can notice a difference when I stop taking it. It's one of
Oh,
those
wow.
supplements.
Yeah, good. I'll have to check that one out. Amazing. Well, this has been so interesting. I think you sound like you're a defender of women against the cortisol and stress of the modern world. So it's so wonderful to have a resource. Where can people find you on your various handles if they want to connect?
So all across the board, Dr. Francesca LeBlanc, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, all the things, the Facebook, everywhere.
I love it. And you have a program, the Revive program. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so my group coaching program, the Revivify Method, is a 16-week program where we basically take women from feeling like garbage to smashing perimenopause. So we're gonna do a total toxicity panel and address your toxic burden, see what the liver's holding on to, possibly bind and eliminate stuff that we don't want in our body, and then address anything happening in the gut with a comprehensive stool analysis to make sure we don't have a gut infection that's keeping us bloated, that's keeping us sensitive to foods that we should be able to eat and we can't, and integrate and assimilate supplements, right? That's so big. It's such a huge one because most women that say, oh, I tried that supplement, it didn't work, I always go, how's your gut health? Because truly, that is such a hallmark of telling of whether or not a supplement is really being absorbed and utilized by the body. So we address two major root causes and then kind of tailor things over 16 weeks. It's pretty wonderful. Women all over the world.
Oh, I love it. So that's the Revivify program. Well, thank you so much. I've
Thank
been so
you.
educated just listening to you. I really appreciate it, Francesca. That's it for now, guys. Don't forget to find me on my Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K, DrKay, doing amazing things with people's faces. And our website is the same, beautybydrk.com. That's where you can find my internal radiance collagen peptides, which I drink every morning. Hopefully, I'm getting over some of my cortisol and stress. I'm going to take a lot of these
Good.
tips with me. That's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful.